Lord, your word is awesome. It's like food. It's like a sword. It's like the best manual for how to live the best life. And it is like, wow, something that we should be devouring day after day, meditating on it day and night, like a lion just feasts on its prey. Lord, I pray that you would just teach us today what you have for us in this short parable about a mustard seed and about yeast, something so small, that you would teach us what it means about your kingdom. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name today. Amen. So, let's see. Get my slides up there. This is kind of interesting. Just to show how God's created world is, do you see anything really? Whoops, that's not right. Oh, that's interesting. These are my great-great-grandparents. They came in 1884. Sorry about that, but it came up this week. Do you see anything in there? I'm going to zoom in. Now I'm going to zoom in again. How many is that? I mean, you can do a quick count. 13. 13. Anyway, just a testimony. If you almost think about it, it almost feels like a kingdom of God principle. God made the world this way, right? So mustard and yeast, Matthew 13. Let's stand one last time. I'm going to read the word of God. This is from Matthew 13, verse 31 through 35. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it's the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. 60 pounds, okay? That's a lot. And that's why Jesus said that this way. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowds in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. We talked about that before. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. Now, this is the word of the Lord. No, that's not what it says. Thanks be to the Lord. Or this is the word of the Lord. Thank you. See, I tricked you. You may be seated. I had to do that. Because sometimes the Christian life, right, can sometimes be, you know, just kind of walk along. Sometimes you take two steps forward, three back. Sometimes you take one step forward, one back, so on, right? But it's the life of faith, and sometimes we just get into patterns, and we just sort of assume this is the way it is, and growth can seem so small sometimes in our life. So let me ask you questions. Do you get discouraged with the slow growth in your soul and in your life when it comes to faith and faithfulness? Do you ever ask yourself, what difference does any of my faith and faithfulness even make? What difference does it make? Do you measure your spiritual growth in terms of size, how big your faith is? Or speed, how fast it grows? Or is it more like a hidden, invisible work that is gradually growing, steadily permeating all the corners and spaces of your life? Steadily. Or when it comes to steady movement and gradual growth in faith and faithfulness, you actually notice the endless small compromises that impede faith and faithfulness and the growth in your heart along the way. Maybe you're saying yes, 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 and yes. Could it be that we too impede faith's growth in us, where some days we just don't know if we can see what God is really doing? In Matthew 13, where Jesus starts with a series of parables. You need to follow this. I need to go through this every week because it's building. And today it'll be particularly important. Probably one of the best ways to interpret Scripture is to look at its context and then to look in the broader context, to have Scripture interpret Scripture. Super important when you look at Scripture to help you understand. For whatever reason, Jesus, parable after parable after parable after parable in Matthew 13. Now, it's possible Matthew arranged it that way from all of Jesus' teaching too, but because he had an intent for his audience to hear. It doesn't matter, you see. It's God's plan. This is the word, how it was given to us. And it's important to see where it fits. This chapter begins with a good sower sowing good seed in good soil. And it produces a crop. That's what you need to notice. Seed of God's love, right? His forgiveness, his mercy in Jesus Christ comes into the heart, it gets planted, and it begins to grow. In good soil, it grows. And it produces an incredible crop. 30, 60, 100 fold, by the way, is a massive harvest. It's kind of what Jesus did here. What is so small grows super tall. What is so small, it's just going to permeate all. That's the kingdom of God. So it helps to know context. But remember what followed up that parable? Jesus went right there. We're like, hey, good soil, yay. And then Jesus goes, but there's another sower who sows weeds. And he does it in under darkness. And then the weeds start to grow. And what you have is weeds and wheat growing together. That's the very next parable. And then Jesus gives us these two. I want to help you notice what's happening as we go. Weeds and wheat, reality, it's an opportunity. It also shows God's generosity, that they grow up together. He doesn't just whack the weeds right now. They grow up. It's a time of salvation. It's a time of grace right now. And then we talked about what time is it? Well, now's a time of grace and salvation. Then the kingdom of God being like a mustard seed. So small, grows to be visibly tall. A mustard seed, probably from black mustard, Brassica nigra, grows 8 to 10 feet tall. It's a common herb in the Middle East. Some think it's a Kilnell oil plant, Salvadora persica. That grows to 23 feet. As its branches grow, it droops over. It's really good for shade. And if you've been in the Middle East, you understand the sun. Mostly a desert. Small to tall. So I'm going to give you a picture of what they think it could be. It says it grows into a plant and then into a tree. Look at that. Now, it doesn't look like that's the herb part. It looks like it could be the other one they're identifying. But do you see how barren everything is around it? I know it's green, but when it's hot and the sun is out, it's a place that you can find shade. This is a little bit of a graph I found online that I thought was really good. You can see the progression. Something so small, and by the way, you weren't up here to see it, but you can see it afterwards. You can barely see yeast granule. You can barely see a mustard seed. But look what it can grow into. What's that? What does that grow into? Over how much time? Can you see the growth visibly year to year? Maybe, right? Maybe. Do you know what that is? Looks like a seed, right? Sequoia. Sequoia seeds are actually very small. Look at that. How many years does that take to grow? What's that? This one's harder. Aspen seed. Now you may think, yeah, aspens, you know, dime a dozen in Colorado, right? You know how their roots are networked, at least nearby. Sometimes they stretch pretty further than you think. That right there is one living organism. All those trees are supposedly connected. They've studied this. This is in Pando, Utah. Fish something National Park. This is the largest growing organism on planet Earth. Connected. But starts from one seed somewhere, sometime. And how much time did it take for that to grow? Do you realize that this organism that they call largest growing organism in Pando of these aspen trees is 106 acres? Touching, all touching. 47,000 stems, trees. And over 14,000 years old. Cool. What is small grows tall leads to visible great growth. The kingdom of heaven is like this. So God's love and redemption, his recreating power is full of life in a little seed, is visibly expansive like Pando, like a sequoia. A small beginning, yet it grows very big. Now, at that point, we can get. As it grows, it provides shade, it provides protection, the birds find shelter, they even make their nests in its branches. And immediately after that, Jesus, without hesitation, says the kingdom of God is like yeast. So again, it's small, with amazing permeating effect throughout the dough. It's invisible, it's hidden, you can't see it happening, but you can see it happening. The effect isn't so much small to tall, but from small to all. It's effective, invisible, yet you see its effects. It may be hidden, have an invisible quality of how it works, what it does, and then you see finally what is seen, a visible rising. So small, so insignificant, so quiet, so silent, yet its impact is huge. So a question, what is harder for you to believe and trust? That God can grow something big from something small? Or that God can work in a way that it will one day permeate all? What's harder for you to trust and believe? If we take a lesson from nature, which Jesus is doing with these everyday things in his life, what God has designed in the tiniest of seeds, the smallest granule of yeast, this is what the kingdom of God is like. So, small permeates all. What is going on? This progression of parables is ingenious, and why not? It's Jesus. The Son of Man, Jesus, showing generously good seed, and the seed that lands in good soil, the heart grows, produces fruit, all progresses along, doing exactly what it was made by God to do. From the sower to the seed to the soil, as God made it to be. That is what the kingdom of God is all about. Jesus has come sowing this good seed of salvation, renewing, reclaiming, redeeming all things, bringing growth in faith and in faithfulness in our lives. Yet, watch out. Be on your guard is something else that Jesus teaches as well in other places. There's another sower. He is not good, he is bad. He is referred to as an evil one who loves to snatch seeds away before they even grow. When a heart can be hard or it's thorny, distracted by all the worries of life, we learned. And weed seed grows. He loves to discourage growth. Anything he can do to choke its growth, if it's in his power. I'll say that because there's some nuances here. However, as wheats and weed grow up together, the kingdom of heaven grows like a mustard seed and like yeast, not like a spectacle, but a hidden, progressive, transformative power in the world. What may seem small will and is growing tall. What is hidden and invisibly small will permeate all. That's where he went in the progression. So what does this mean for you and me? Well, I'll give you the positive first, and then I want to give an alternative based on the context that may not at first be seen. We in Christ are to be salt and light. We are also in parallel with the kingdom of heaven's power at work in us. We are to grow tall in faith. It's what we were designed to do in Christ. We are to grow in faith and faithfulness with the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. And it's like a mustard seed and like yeast, small. Over time, we'll grow tall. We've been recreated and redesigned through Christ to grow, to bless, to influence. Think of yeast, the world, for his kingdom growth and glory. In this way, okay, this interpretation of how this parable is laid out in its context, the kingdom of heaven will grow until all the nations are nested in it, until the leavening effect of the gospel goes out to every corner of the world. This is God's plan. It's God's design. It's what the purpose of the church is really all about, to get the word out and to make disciples, other followers of Jesus, giving the good news, being the good news, etc. That the world may know kind of growth, where faith and faithfulness grows. So here's where I'll go next, and this is where I will start to land this message plain, I guess. An alternative interpretation to ponder, at least. Because the truth of what I'm going to try to point out to you now, based on the context and Jesus lining up these parables and what's within each, reveals something that could very much be in line with this interpretation. Plus, we have other things in Scripture that Jesus says directly, in that yeast can be a negative thing. Okay? Remember what I said at the beginning? Do you ever feel like there's small little compromises in your life that over time they add up and pretty soon, right? The faith and faithfulness is hampered. Maybe that's like yeast. Jesus says in Matthew 16, right? We're in 13, but in 16, he actually uses yeast again. He says, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. I don't have a lot of time to explore that right now, but people who are going to tie heavy burdens on you, right? Or this walk of faith is just too much, it's too heavy. I mean, Jesus says his burden, his yoke, it's light. Yet, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. So it's used in a way that's not necessarily positive. So, let me see where I'm at. I'm just going. That's what we were made for. This is what Jesus came and died for. This is what the Holy Spirit who lives in us is working in us. To grow, to bless, to influence. Now here's an alternative thought about the yeast particularly. You have the parable of the soils that start. You have good soil, but you also have what? You have not so good soil. You have hard soil where the birds come and snatch it away. You have rocky soil where they just can't build good roots. And you have thorny soil, which just kind of chokes it out. So you have this great soil, good message, but you also have other soils. Positive, not so positive. Jesus follows it up with wheat, right? I mean, wheat, it grows, right? It's growing strong, but oh no, look, there's weeds too. You have two different sowers. So there's good seed and there's bad seed and there's good growth and there's bad growth. So do you see, like, some is good, some not so good. And then Jesus tells these two, mustard seed, both small, yeast, but the mustard seed seems absolutely positive, doesn't it? It grows up. It like provides shelter. Talk about the texts that talk about God's people being shelter, God's people being goodness and blessing and all these things, and all the nations nest in it, right? That's the kingdom of God, positive. And then he says, the kingdom of God is like yeast. You have a lot of dough, a lot of flour, and you mix in a little bit, and positive? I'm going to go with positive today as the main, but it could also be negative. There's also someone in our world who likes to sow yeast granules. That right in the middle, right, of sort of your life, little compromises, even whatever we talked about even earlier, where it just can permeate, or you just start getting in your head like, I just don't, you know, I'm just not good enough, or I'll never measure up, or, you know, all these kind of things start creeping into your heart, and all of a sudden, it starts to permeate your life. The lies today are rampant about who you are as a God-created human being. You eliminate God from the equation, which is happening in all kinds of sectors of our life and society, even in our own, if we're honest, right? We like to segment little pieces of our heart. We like to have sacred-secular splits. God's not Lord of this part, but he's Lord of this part. You see, that kind of thing, to me, sounds like yeast in a not positive way. So, with that, what do you think? It's something to ponder. Jesus speaks of being beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. And in that text where he says that, he says to his disciples, "You of little faith, do you not yet understand?" And I start to think about what we started with this. Do you not understand that God loves you? Do you not understand that I have loved you? That I, in me, your sins are forgiven? That in the Holy Spirit, your life can be full and free? Beware of the yeast. So the contrast, the comparison. All right, I think that's good enough. I don't need to go over it again. Here's what I think this text of these two parables actually really does for us, is that we can be patient. I think sometimes in this life, especially with how fast immediate gratification is, and, you know, look, I love Amazon. Please, here it comes. Oh, I'm just going to call someone around the world. Just the other day, I was having a live conversation, pretty much texting with someone in Africa. We expect everything right now. I do not think that's how God works in the kingdom of God. Steady, patience, endurance. We can be faithful. Yeah, you may take a step forward, two steps forward, one step back, but do you understand God loves you and he's empowering you and he wants you to keep on going in this walk of faith that you might grow up into an oak tree, that you might influence the neighborhood around you? And we can be hopeful because this teaching of Jesus is a promise that his kingdom will be all in all. So we can be patient, faithful, and hopeful. This is how I said it this week. You know, sometimes you're going to get frustrated, but actually what we can do is we can put away our frustration when we hear parables like this in this way. Because he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. Do you realize that? Like, you can look around the world and think, where's the kingdom of God? How's it coming into focus? Well, it's the underlying, hidden maybe sometimes, truth of God that his kingdom will permeate everything. It's what he's invited us into. So, kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed and like yeast. Would you pray with me? Lord God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this space. Lord, we thank you for our graduates today. Lord, we thank you for the way that even when we are not faithful, you are. Lord, I do think this analogy of the yeast can go both ways, and I pray that you would help us to understand the wonder and the beauty of the goodness of yeast and what it does, what it accomplishes, how something so small, just a simple truth that you love us, how something that small can grow to really become like all in all for our life. We can live and move and breathe in that truth. So Lord, today and this week, just protect us from the yeast that's around us, or even some of the yeast in the negative way that wants to live within us. Thank you for the reminder that we're a part of your kingdom and that we actually can exert influence of your kingdom and your love on the world. Lord, lead us, we pray, this week. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.